Last two times out, we talked about this thing called forgiveness and how the Lord emphasized it in many places, but especially around your relationship with the Father and the things you are believing from the Father. You remember Mark 11:24, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them and they shall be granted to you. But when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive. For if you do not forgive them, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. And it's the same as we got out of Matthew 18 in the last part of that. That if you have been forgiven so much, do you realize the person who created you, not the man, the person who created you, gave you life, put you in a biological material universe that could support that life, something of such incredible design that they're still, thousands of years later, trying to figure out even the basics and the fundamentals. Did you hear about a month ago they decided that the universe is, 1.3 billion years younger than they thought, which actually throws out some of the theories that they had, but they can't figure it out quite. They're still trying to come up with theories that can explain it, let alone come up with the facts, but it is so balanced. They started out saying it would take two conditions for another planet to support life like this. They now have hundreds of conditions that are absolutely necessary for a planet to support life like this. And the odds have gone from several quintillion down to maybe there's a few hundred of planets out there that could have those conditions. We haven't found them yet. But it is an intricate thing, but then the life that came on it was fearfully and wonderfully made. This is your Creator, and He created you that you would have fellowship with Him. The same way if you had a child, not if you had a lawnmower or a vacuum or a shelf or something that was made and you could make again, but if you had a child that could function totally independently but was genetically like you and was designed to have fellowship with you and to expand on the things that you had begun to create and do. And the things that you would do for that child, you create it an environment that is marvelous and intricate and designed beyond that child's ability to comprehend. And you create opportunity and you lay down structures and paths that can go forward and expand. And then the child turns his back on you, goes off into self-destruction. There's a church in this area was started by parents of a child that committed suicide. It's devastating. Well, your Father forgives you, and you think it's a big deal to forgive some other creation, some other of the Father's creation, another man's servant. And He says, no, you learn to forgive as I have forgiven you. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. So forgiveness was a very important thing. And we looked further at it in John chapter 8, where we noticed the Lord's attitude. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives early in the morning. He came again into the temple, and all the people were coming to Him. He sat down and began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, and having set her in the center of the court, they said to Him, Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery in the very act. Now, in the law of Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. What then do you say? They were saying this, testing him so that they might have grounds for accusing him. They weren't trying to fix society. They were trying to fix Jesus. But Jesus stooped down with his finger wrote on the ground. Now, he was teaching. He came from the Mount of Olives, went into the temple, and sat down to teach. And these guys interrupted. Not to fix a social problem, but to fix him. And he just stooped down with his finger wrote on the ground. But when they persisted in asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again he stooped down on the ground, and when they heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the older ones. And he was left alone and the woman where she was in the center of the court. And straightening up, Jesus said to her, "Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "I do not condemn you either. Go. From now on, sin no more." Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." Life comes from the light of mercy, of non-condemnation, of forgiveness. It is the structure. The church was given one new commandment to take it into the kingdom age. And that was that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, I showed a number of things here. One, he wasn't intimidated by the gang, by the mob. Remember I mentioned that the mobs usually look for someone to be the kingpin, the person who gives everybody else the reason to unthinkingly follow. He would not be that person they wanted him to be. He proved he was wiser than the world, wiser than the accuser, wiser than the adversary. They weren't accusing to go after the woman, they were accusing to go after him. So he turned it on them. But at the same time, he dealt with the issue and said, "Neither do I condemn thee." And that flows out of the Matthew 18 passage we read, doesn't it? Where he said to the slave that owed him a lot, "I forgive you the debt." Then that slave went out and tried to harangue someone who owed him a little. And it was reported. And the king said, "That's not good." And in fact, he turned him over to the torturers or the tormentors, depending on your translation. Turned over to the God of this world. The demons and hell are the places of torment. And the torturers are usually demons. Tormentors are demons. The tormented, the Gadarene demoniac was tormented. The epileptic boy with the demon causing it was tormented. So we want to move on a little bit from that, but we have to get it clear. The Lord is serious about forgiveness. It is an indicator of whether you identify with Jesus or not, because he is a forgiver and he is a coverer and a remitter of sin. He is not an accuser. He is not a hater. When he was on the cross, what did he say? Forgive them. Well, they were the ones doing it, yes. But they didn't know what they were doing. He found a way to forgive them and made intercession for them and gave them an alibi. So, if he is of that nature and you want to be like him or have fellowship with him or walk with him, you need to be of that nature and have that like-minded thing. And that sort of sums up the last 2 days we spent here. But let's move on a little bit. There's a corollary of some sort. And that is, if you are going to be forgiving, what did it say? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So we have been talking about forgiving our debtors. It gets our prayers heard. It gets our prayers answered if we are walking in faith. But it was also pointed out that you call for your debt to be forgiven. You are to be someone who forgives yourself as well. You are not to be someone who walks under the cloud of accusation or condemnation. I know a very famous piano player came in to play piano for church one day. And I said something, it's maybe a little touch sarcastic or something. But the piano player said, you stop worrying about what people think about you when you stop worrying about your mistakes. You just make the mistakes and keep going. Or words to that effect. See, there's somebody who has gotten past condemnation, maybe to the point of complete freedom. But you must not be someone who condemns yourself. I was talking to somebody a few days ago, and they're telling me a little bit about their life, which was absolutely bizarre. And they wanted to know a little bit about the church and whether the Catholic Church was okay and whether the non-Catholic churches were okay and stuff like that. And I said, well, sure, they're all okay as long as, you know, they have the Lord. The church without the Lord doesn't build the house. It's all in vain. So then the person was leaving and said, well, you know, I just feel such shame and embarrassment. It's almost like they couldn't go to the Lord because they had too much shame. And I thought, I wonder how many people out there do not understand that they're... What's that song? My shame, he's taken away. They don't understand that yet. They don't understand. You can forget about those mistakes. In Romans, Paul talks about how the flesh caught up with people in Romans 8. But back in 7, it says, 7:21, I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good, for I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, that's your heart or your spirit, the hidden man of the heart. Your spirit concurs, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. And therefore, 8:1, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. When you realize there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus, neither do I condemn you, he said, to the one who was guilty, but guilty of the law of sin and death. Neither do I condemn you, because you can move from the law of sin and death. Or as Jesus said, if you believe in me, you pass from judgment into life. And you can get past all that judgment and condemnation as you forgive your debtors or your trespassers. As you're forgiving others, you are supposed to begin to realize the Lord is forgiving you. He has paid the price for it, and his forgiveness and his lack of condemnation is there. Now, he still says, go and sin no more. But when you go and sin no more, you are attempting to do so without condemnation, without baggage. You leave your baggage outside when you come in here. Without encumberment, without the word of the accuser in your ear. You don't listen to the accuser. Pharisees are always coming to Jesus trying to find something to accuse him with. You should have done this, you shouldn't have done that, you shouldn't have healed on the Sabbath, you should have made your guys wash their hands before they picked the grain out of the field. You should have, you know, just all things you should have. Jesus didn't pay much attention to them. He just never got to where he cared. Philippians. Let's read chapter 3. We're going to get to 13 before you have to have your pen out, but let's read chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision, for we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Although I myself might have confidence, even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more, circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. But whatever things were gained to me, these things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. He put away performance orientation. And if you put away performance orientation, you stop puffing yourself up on who you think you are, and you stop tearing yourself down on who others think you are. You stop letting people or yourself condemn you. But other things were gained to me, these things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him. Canadian translation would say garbage. Not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. That is the answer for the accuser and the condemner. It's also the answer for the confused, and it's the answer for performance orientation. Forget it. Or to quote a famous saint, forget about it. Put that on the tape. Let's get that out there. And when you forget about it, you start each day with a clean sheet. And you start each day saying, Lord, I know I hear your voice. What have you got to say today? How can I find the kingdom today? I want to seek first the kingdom today. And, you know, I didn't do that yesterday, but I've forgotten about that. Today, I'm going to seek the kingdom. Today, I'm going to go forward. Today, I'm going to empty me and fill you. Today, I'm moving up. I'm moving up. Well, where are you moving up to? Go back to Ephesians since you're in Philippians. Ephesians 2. And you were dead. You remember Ephesians 1, he just finished saying how Christ was the fullness of everything and the revelation of that inheritance and power and glory was something he was praying for the Ephesians to have, because they were a blood-bought, Holy Spirit-sealed, tongue-talking, faith-walking church. He'd heard about those things that existed among them. And so he prayed for them to have revelation into the spiritual realm, into the kingdom, into the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is above and put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body. 2. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked. This is the guy who said, I forget those things. According to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Don't call him Lord, Lord, and then not do what he says. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where are you now? You are raised up with him, and you are seated in the heavenly places. Colossians says, set your mind on things above. You think carnally, because your mind is set on carnal things and temporal things. Think spiritually. If you want to see how Jesus sees it, you got to be in the Spirit. These things are spiritually revealed from spirit to spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And they are things that you have to reposition yourself spiritually and begin to think and see spiritually. Then the word will not surprise you, and you can stop arguing with it. And you can begin to walk in it. And you can become the appraiser of all things rather than the critic of all things. You can get past being a judge and become a redeemer. And then you will live from the heavenlies down, seated with Christ. Christians have no concept of that half the time. But they want what's in Ephesians 1, verse 3, blessed be the Lord, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And they say, well, how do we get that? Well, you start by sitting there. You start by sitting there in the presence of Christ, seated in the heavenly places with Christ, where you've been raised up to. Your spirit has access into heaven. The worshiper in the spirit and truth is being sought by God. He's being revealed to by the Holy Spirit. He's being counseled with things that eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and things that have not yet entered the heart of man. And to get there, you release and get rid of all that condemnation and all those guilty feelings. I shoulda, I coulda. And you just press on to the calling, forgetting what lies behind. Not going to there, but Romans says, if you walk by the Spirit, you'll stop sinning. So if you're worried about not meeting some standard of performance, walk by the Spirit and you'll fix it. You could never fix it and then walk by it. It's like, you know, when Jesus proves to me that he's taking me to heaven, then I'll believe him to go to heaven. No, that's backwards. When I get perfect and I'm good enough to present myself to God, then I'll start to go to God and believe in him and walk spiritually. No, that's backwards. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. And while you are yet sinners, he died for you. And if you will accept it, he raised you up and seated you with him. And if you keep crawling back to the condemnation and not forgiving yourself where you missed it, and just saying, how today can I sit with Jesus in the heavenly places where every spiritual blessing is? What are all the spiritual blessings? Well, we give you six fundamental areas, right? Spirit, soul, and body, personal. Spirit, soul, and body, kingdom. Start there. You've seen the chart. Well, this is off the charts. This is beyond the charts. Because it's the fullness of everything. Sandwiched in between these two verses is, he is the fullness of everything, with everything subject to him, above every name that has been named, and he's given him to the church, which is his body, the fullness of everything. So if we get there, we'll be doing good. What is the access point of there? Well, really, it's forgive everybody that has done you wrong and realize the Lord has forgiven you of everything that you've done wrong. Just start as a child. Start as a new creation. Start as the born again. Start as a believer. And grow with respect to your salvation. That's enough for today. Jonathan says, let's get out of here. He just said it in low German, Manny. That's why you don't understand him. You'll notice that low German is like that for everybody.